This is a podcast from WOR.
You never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind, and presented by Melrose Credit Union, this is the Taxi Dave Show.
This is the night he takes me through a tour of the Kosciuszko Street sewer.
Sunday night, and this is the place to be, WOR 710. I'm Taxi Dave, and you're listening to the Taxi Dave Show. I'm here with Frank Venezia. How are you, Frank?
I'm doing well, David. How are you?
I'm fantastic. We're at the beautiful Melrose Studios, located in Briarwood, Queens, and you know what we're looking at, Frank. The beautiful highway.
You gotta love it.
Yes, you do. No palm trees, no waterfalls. No flowers, just a beautiful Van Wyck Expressway. Oh, gosh, how lovely it is in the snow with people driving 5 miles an hour. The weather has been horrendous here in New York City for all you listeners across the country. Tuesday morning was fun. I got into my car, and the in-car thermometer actually said minus 7 degrees. That's a record for me this year, folks. And today, we're expecting 6 inches of snow. How much snow do you have up by your house, Frank?
Probably about 5 or 6 inches by about now.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And has the cold affected your commute?
That's a loaded question. I think the cold's affected everybody's commute. Obviously more layers, but... You know, I on occasion, when I feel like pampering myself, I will take the ferry into Lower Manhattan. And that's turned into definitely a test of nerves. There's nothing like the sound of ice bouncing off of the hull of an aluminum boat and turning a 15-minute commute into 2 hours while you sit there just holding the seat in front of you for dear life and praying to God you make the shoreline.
Usually you take the ferry because it's the straightest line from point A to point B to save time. We're going to have professor and author Graham Hodges as a guest in a few minutes. We're also going to have Senator Rivella talk about congestion pricing. You know, the one where they want tolls on every bridge in Manhattan. And he's going to demand an apology. Right now... One day, driving over the Whitestone Bridge into Queens, I guess the last 1,000 feet or so, all of a sudden the white lines disappear, and you have to understand, at the end of the bridge, you can either, there's 3 lanes on the bridge, now 2 lanes go to the right, 2 lanes go to the left, and there's no lane markers. I'm like, horns are honking, people are hitting their brakes, you don't know which way to turn. So when you see accidents, I understood why I heard accidents in that area on the bridge weeks before. But the next morning, the white lane markers were there. So I guess the Triborough Bridge and Tunnel Authority did a very, very good job. Not like the Port Authority of New York, because when you leave Manhattan through the Lincoln Tunnel, there are no lines on the first, I don't know, quarter mile of the Helix. There's a big sign that says, stay in lane. Where's the lane? There's no lane markers. What are you supposed to do? It's ridiculous.
That's how they train Jersey drivers. Now you know why they tend to drift a little bit more than others.
Now I know why all those jokes are out there. It's all the Port Authority's fault. And then you get into 9th Avenue, which used to be 5 lanes going south. I know I spoke about some of this stuff before. But it irks me, because you're stopped at virtually every light. You go 1 block, maybe 2 blocks, because of those damn left turn lanes. The left turn lane holds like four cars, but if there's eight cars that want to turn left, they're taking up a lane of traffic. So that's the left turn lane and a lane of traffic, and to the left of them is a bike lane and cars parked. And then on the right side of 9th Avenue, cars are parked. So if you can visualize it, you have two lanes for traffic on an avenue that used to be five lanes. It's ridiculous. You know? I mean, I understand it's safer for traffic to move slower, but this is New York City. I mean, you're entitled to get where you're going. Our phone number here is 800-321-0710. That's 800-321-0710. And our email address is taxihale@AOL.com. We may choose to read your email over the air, and we will take your calls. So, 2 hours, Frank, on a ferry from Hoboken to where?
From Hoboken to Pier 11, which is, you know, just south of the South Street Seaport. So it's, you know, right by Governor's Island and just around the other side of the Horn by the Staten Island Ferry. Listen, for $7, and it's $7 now for a ticket from the New Jersey Transit train station in Hoboken to Pier 11, is $7. See, you know, when you kind of average it out, $7, 2 hours, you did get your money's worth, but, you know, that's pretty steep. And you know what? A lot of people were complaining, obviously, because who's planning on a two-hour commute that normally takes 15 minutes? But safety was definitely a factor. I mean, obviously, the crew was doing whatever they could. But I have some pictures which I'm going to share. The amount of ice was unbelievable.
The tourists would have loved it.
Oh, it was a Discovery Channel episode of, like, you know, going to Alaska, like an absolute Alaskan commute.
The New York City Harbor for 2 hours for $7. You can't beat it.
No, you can't beat it. Too bad no coffee was being served, but you can't beat a two-hour tour around Manhattan for $7.
We'll also, a little later in the show, get to the five most dangerous intersections in New York City. We have some statistics for New York City economics. We have the January figures from NYPD on moving violations in New York City. And we have some comments from the MTA about bus drivers and the right-of-way law. Before we introduce our guest, we have a caller. So let's just take this one call, and then we'll get to our guest. David.
Hey, Patsy, man. How are you?
Okay.
That's what my ex-Polish girlfriend used to call a cab driver. Cabman or taxi man? Whichever you prefer.
Okay. What can
anyway,
I do for you,
Dave? I got an interesting thing to contribute to your show. I was reading yesterday on the Internet. Actually, I think it was Friday night. I think it's called Intro 238. It's part of the Zero Vision Initiative. It has to do with pedestrian knockdowns or pedestrian striking. That it pertains to all general citizens, that regardless of whether you were careful or not, regardless of whether you were obeying the law and under the speed limit, that if you strike a pedestrian, that they will lock you up and charge you with a misdemeanor. Is that correct?
If the pedestrian is critically injured, judged to be critically injured, or killed, you will be arrested. And who decides if the injury is critical? The EMT at the scene of the accident will decide.
Uh-huh.
If it is critical, you don't pass go, you go directly to jail.
Okay, so let me ask you this. You could be going 5 miles an hour and the pedestrian doesn't walk where he's supposed to, or doesn't look both ways or whatever. I think that's absurd.
And then there's a tribunal. If you're found guilty by the tribunal of intentional whatever, you know, you'll have your fines and your jail time. If they determine it to be just total, you know, accident, you know, I mean, nobody intentionally runs anybody over.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know? It's ridiculous with this thing.
Yeah, but, you know, let me just see this. I have some notes on it, actually.
A lot of the people I spoke to don't even know about this. They thought, oh, my friend who used to be worked for the Red Bus on Roosevelt Island, I was telling him about it today, and he's like, what? He's like, I thought that was only for bus drivers and for taxi drivers. He says, no, it's for everybody.
Well, there have been 17 deaths in pedestrians so far this year.
Yeah.
And I should say 17 people have been arrested. Six of them have been bus drivers.
Okay.
I don't know if any have been yellow cab drivers, in all honesty.
Right.
But
I just know that, like there have been times where you can't see the pedestrians. It's dark out. The city's too cheap to put in adequate lighting. And
then, you know, some pedestrians have a sense of arrogance. They don't look. They say, oh, it's a crosswalk. I have the right of way. I don't care about anything. And they just walk out and don't look. You know, I get reports of that every day. I'm not, you know, justifying hitting them. But you know, everybody has to be cautious, whether you're in a car, whether you're on a street. I mean, you know, steel versus flesh, who's going to win?
Now, I understand what you're saying, but to criminalize it is absolutely absurd. If you're going under the speed limit, which I'll be driving like between 10 and 15 around Astoria, and I got people honking me and racing to pass me on the left over the double yellow line, and you know, because I'm afraid of hitting anybody after what I heard on Friday, and it's absolutely absurd, the whole thing. I really think it's ridiculous, because I could be going as slow as a turtle and hit anybody, and they're going to charge me.
Well, Astoria is right near Long Island City.
Right.
And I'll jump the gun. One of the five most dangerous intersections in New York City is over at Queens Plaza and 27th Street. Okay,
so it happened. Borough Plaza by the number 7, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's also on the way to the 59th Street Bridge. So yeah. There's all kinds of traffic, and, you know, everyone just has to be careful. Look, I want to thank you for listening to the Taxi Dave's radio show and for calling in. And a little later in the show, hey, tell me what you think. You know, Dave is saying that it's unfair and it's ridiculous for everybody to go to jail if they critically injure a pedestrian in a crosswalk. What do you think? Our phone number is 800-321-0710. Thanks for calling, Dave. Right now, I'd like to introduce professor and author Graham Hodges. He actually graduated New York University with his PhD. He has so many publications, from David Ruggles, Radical Black Abolitionist in the Underground Railroad in New York City. I understand he's an expert in that field. Friends of Liberty, Thomas Jefferson, Thaddeus Kosciuszko, and Agrippa Hull. And, of course, Taxi, A Cultural History of the New York City Cab Driver. A dozen edited books or more. It goes on and on. Distinctions, the Fulbright Teaching Fellowship, China, a distinguished Fulbright Professor of History, Peking University, Director of the National Endowment of the Humanities, Summer Teachers Institute, and you have a series, 106 volumes to date. Well, we'll get to that in a second. Professor Hodges, thank you for being on the Taxi Dave Show.
It's my pleasure to join you.
Is it true that you drove a taxi cab?
Yeah, I drove for a dock service at 11th Avenue from 1971 to 73, and then they fired me. And after, I worked for Freenet in Long Island City. I was a steady man for a while. I got to having a 49% commission. If I stayed a little bit longer, I would have been a 50%er, but at least until lease driving came anyway. But anyway, I quit or fired. It was time for me to move on. I then became a household mover for a couple of years and then moved into academia. But, yeah, I drove for 5 years and enjoyed it. Most of it was really tough after a while, as you know.
Did you drive nights?
Of course, yeah, I drove nights because I wanted to make the money. I enjoyed driving at first. I felt like sort of like a football player, you know, going through the line on the by the tight end if I could really make a good pass. But it's a tough job. I think it's even harder now.
You are a historian. When it comes to New York City. And
I think so, yeah.
And in your book, Social History of the New York City Cab Driver, you talk about, I guess, what the times felt like in the 1930s, where there were like 16 or 17,000 cabs roaming the streets. And, of course, the population in the 1930s was much, much smaller in New York City than we have now. I mean, uptown, you know, it was probably, the Bronx was just being built, basically. So, you know, way uptown was Washington Heights, I guess. Can you?
Yeah, it was less populated, but of course that was the Great Depression. And you put your finger on it. There were a lot of cab drivers and, of course, not a lot of fares. I talked to veterans in that time, and they told me that when someone stepped into a cab in those days, you knew they had money. But on the other hand, you might have to throw your hat in the back seat, let off, put the hot seat on, and drive around for yourself just to show the boss some money because it was tough times. And the fact that there were so many drivers and that they were competing with each other and they were very unhappy. They had a lot of troubles with the garages over a nickel tax and what they're going to do with it. That we're now in the 80th anniversary of a major strike that happened in the winter of 1934-1935. And you had taxis being burned on Fifth Avenue and drivers and passengers. If drivers were scabbing, then they would be attacked by their fellow cabbies. It was violent. And Fiola LaGuardia, who was probably the greatest mayor we've ever had, settled it finally in 1937 by establishing the medallion system.
And so how did that change the taxi industry?
Well, the medallion system, which I argue, and I've done this in a couple of books, is based upon really ancient regulations. Limits the number of drivers. It's allegedly set at 42% for owner drivers, but that hasn't worked out lately. But at any rate, there is a limited number of drivers. They work for set fares. They are regulated. But at the same time, they are protected from excessive competition. The city is supposed to be sort of a go-between between the drivers and the garage owners' management. Terminal had like 2,000 cabs in the 1930s. And so the drivers didn't have a union, but the regulation that they received was a kind of protection. I'm not going to go too far on that, but at least it gave them, and this is a term I like to use, a bond of attachment, that there was a deal between the city and the drivers that they the drivers would perform well and the city would make sure there were not too many drivers, the fares were set, and also negotiate things like commissions. Today, of course, they negotiate lease fees, and I'm not really in favor of that. I can explain later if you want me to. But the city and the drivers did have this strong bond, and I argue that that really kind of governs everything else. You know, in the book, I talk about taxi culture. I cite a lot of guys who wrote their own books. Cab drivers were in the movies all the time. We start with Jimmy Cagney. In Taxi back in 1932, and then you got Red Buttons in the 1950s. A lot of, you know, there's dozens and dozens. William Bendix was a cab driver in a lot of movies, and of course Robert De Niro in 1976, the movie Taxi. So, I mean, there are a lot of different cultures, but what I think is really true is that that city-driver relationship is really important.
And how has the current Uber situation affected the relationship between taxi drivers and the city of New York?
I think that Uber badly needs to be regulated. You know, they operate in the so-called black cab or sort of limousine division. They do okay there. I mean, they're sort of like the other brokers and fleet owners. They're fully within the regulatory system. But they want to break down the cab drivers. They think this is wrong because they're taking lease driving, which I think is a fundamental flaw in the current situation. The drivers have to assume all the costs and pay a weekly fee or monthly fee to drive a cab. I think this is really wrong, and Uber just sort of exacerbates that because they're dependent on this independent contractor status in order to say, well, you know, they're really just a transportation platform. That's nonsense. They're kind of a garage like a lot of others. But right now, the average guy has to pay for the industry. He's sort of like an owner-driver, but without any privileges. So he has to pay for everything. And Uber benefits from the fact that garage owners and the city government have been exploiting the situation. You know, I don't know about you, but I think a medallion that costs $1.3 million, that's intrinsically wrong, because the average guy will never have a chance to buy one. Without the average guy buying in, that bond of attachment is broken.
Well, there was, the industry was set up starting in the 1930s, as you said, and there were different segments, you know, driving for a fleet, leasing a medallion and owning your own vehicle and hiring
other
drivers.
There was no leasing before 1979.
That's right. So since then, a lot of doves, driver-owned vehicles, have been quite successful in purchasing their own vehicles. But Uber is unlimited. I mean, it's just
Uber
unlimited.
Doesn't obey the law. They see the law as an inconvenience, as something that thwarts their entrepreneurial status. But the problem is that history is against that argument. We know in our history, this has been proven by decades among taxi drivers, before that with livery drivers, that too much competition creates reckless driving. You know, it creates really desperate people who are willing to do anything, who will raise the fare according to what the weather is like. You know, passengers don't like that, and it really doesn't help the driver at all.
Frank, do you have any questions for the professor?
Professor, just one quick, I mean, you had mentioned earlier, and we respect the fact that, you know, when you were carving your way through, when you, before you entered the academic arena, you know, you drove for a while. If you had a chance to, if that was today, and you were kind of carving your way or beginning to carve your way, would you consider being a driver?
I think it's much, much harder now, so that would be a negative. On the other hand, when I was driving, my father was a minister, and one of the prominent parishioners in his church said, you know, the grandma ought to buy a couple of medallions. And there were $25,000 then. I mean, I didn't like the idea. I sort of, you know, I was getting tired of driving, frankly. But it would have been a good opportunity for me to do that. And fundamentally, I think that the owner-driver is very important to the industry because these people are lifetime drivers, and we need more of that in New York City. Not guys like me who did it for 5 or 6 years, but people who really invest their lives in it.
But you know, if they invest their lives in it and they bought one for $25,000, you know, why aren't they entitled 30 years later to some type of retirement fund, if you will, for all the work they put in? And not only that, but every time the city needs money, they have an auction, and the city's made hundreds of millions of dollars.
What does
Uber bring to the city?
No, I think the problem there is that there is no good union that would ensure benefits for drivers. Right now, the medallion is kind of serving as a retirement fund for very old drivers, and they're getting fewer and fewer of them. It's down to around 14 or 15% of the industry actually own their own cabs now. But the rest of them, what are they going to
do? How many own their own vehicles?
Of those people?
No. How many taxi drivers own their own vehicles and are leasing medallions? Do we have those stats?
The vast majority. I don't really know the figure. They're basically are leasing.
Listen, I'm going to change gears a little bit. We were talking about pedestrians with our last caller. And what's your take on the Vision Zero and the right-of-way law?
I think drivers are basically trying to be safe. No one wants to hit somebody and get hurt. On the other hand, you have to be very, very careful. And I think this is another way in which the city is cracking down on the drivers without really making any kind of compensatory move to help them. So that's my problem. And, of course, basically, you don't want a reckless driver. And that's also why you don't want Uber in there. Some guy who hasn't driven in a long time like myself, or somebody needs some extra bucks for next month is going to be driving, that's not right. And I think that's what would happen if Uber really got in there. You'd see a lot more of these kind of accidents. But, I mean, if someone's driving safely, I think that they will get off. I think if a pedestrian is careless, that's really unfortunate, and I don't think the drivers would be arrested. So that's sort of where I stand on it. I mean, I think it goes to basic common sense. But I do think that this is another way in which the city is prematurely punishing the drivers.
Shall we take some calls? Tom, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Yeah, hello, Dave.
Hi.
I got to agree with a few things that the professor says, but unfortunately I got a lot of disagreements.
Okay.
Number one, as an owner-driver for the last 55 years, I made an investment. I worked hard at it and diligently, and it had some value. And in return, I didn't become some sort of indigent upon the government or on their pension plans to go to work for the city of New York. This way here, I got some income coming in as a leasee. So, you know, it had some great benefits. If I didn't get all these little additional benefits coming out of this thing, I may become an indigent on the city. I mean, would he want all the cab drivers to become indigent?
Of course not. I think the problem there is you do have...
Thanks for calling, Tom.
Yeah. No, I think he's really got a legitimate complaint there. But at the same time, to have the profit on a medallion be the sole means of a man's retirement, I think is wrong. And I'm not going to say that suddenly that gentleman's medallion should be devalued, because obviously, you know, he needs it, like the rest of us who think about retirement. But the guy coming in, the new medallions are going on sale. They did this with the green cabs. Those permits were going for $1,500 each. People were buying in. That's great. Okay. I think it's going to be gradually reformed so that, A, the older drivers don't depend just on medallion profits, which are, after all, can go up and down, and B, that newer drivers can possibly get a shot at owning their own medallion and vehicle.
Let's take a caller, Frank. You're on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, Dave.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Dave. I had a Liberty Lines bus make a right turn and clip my left back of my car. Fortunately, I did put it in drive and move a little bit to reduce significantly the amount of damage that 10-ton bus would have caused to my car. He kept with his turn. Thankfully, I did move the car. But this guy had an attitude of, like, you're the reason I'm going to lose my job kind of attitude, with passengers disembarking and looking at me in an angry way. And I had to appeal to him to please not yell at me, because I have to make out a report. I own a medallion, and without an insurance report, my insurance would be up at stake. I couldn't want that to happen. And thankfully, a bus driver had a representative show up in a private car, a former retired police department, a New York City police officer, now working with the bus department, talking to me and telling me, look, he's not going to lose his job over something like this. But it had me in shock for days where it happened Thursday night, where I was very upset, and it's difficult to deal with making out detailed reports when somebody's yelling at you and making you afraid to get out of your car to inspect the damage to me and the damage to him, and to deal with it in a mature way.
Road rage kills, I'll tell you. I've seen some crazy things happen with irate drivers.
Yeah. You know, you were asking before about Uber. And I think a very interesting and little talked about aspect of Uber is their rating system. And I think that there's a significant problem here for the passenger and the driver. Let's say a guy does drink too much. Does he not have a right to get picked up by a cab? That's been the case for a long, long time. You basically have to serve anybody. And secondly, what about drivers? If there are rating systems and somehow the driver runs afoul of Uber, does he no longer get to drive? Taxi drivers do have recourse, and that's something to be protected. That's why, you know, I'm very, very leery about Uber getting involved in New York City.
Frank, thanks for listening to the Taxi Dave Show. Professor, I want to thank you for coming on the Taxi Dave Show and for sharing your insights on some important issues, and hopefully you'll come back again if that's okay.
Would love to. Thank you very much for asking me.
Okay. This is the Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Our phone number is 800-321-0710. That's 800-321-0710. Email address taxihale@aol.com. We have a few emails in, a couple of callers. So when we come back, we'll give you a little bit of the news. We'll speak to the senator. And we'll take some more calls and read some emails. Stay tuned for more of the Taxi Dave Show.
Seriously, why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here.
Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
Sunday night, you're listening to the Taxi Dave Show. I'm here with Frank Panizia, and I am Taxi Dave. From Steve, we have the hardest winter, but bicyclists and jaywalkers still doing all kinds of things, and nobody stops that. Cops are ignoring them, and they're not summonsing them. They're busy summonsing cab drivers and limo drivers. Thanks for that email, Steve. And this is from Mike. Hi, Taxi Dave. I was driving this afternoon in the snow, and what I saw, since Mayor de Blasio initiated Vision Zero, people don't care about their safety anymore. Pedestrians walk and cross the street all the time. They have to give us the time to see them. I think the city should engage in an advertising campaign educating pedestrians about their own responsibility to safeguard themselves. Mike, I want to thank you for that email. Avner writes, there's an app that helps taxi drivers not to text or answer the phone while driving. The app is called AT&T Drive Mode. It's automatic when you drive. Your phone, you can't answer it. And also, a black car driver got a ticket for dropping off in the 34th Street bus lane for $115. I'm now avoiding picking up on 34th Street and the 42nd Street bus lanes on both sides. The TLC and the NYPD are giving tickets like crazy everywhere to taxi drivers. And he writes, why is there no union to protect this kind of harassment and discrimination? Also remind black car drivers to make sure that they display in their dashboard, and no headphone tickets up to $300. Well, that's what it says. Please, no names. Oops, sorry. That's from Mr. Wright. There we go. Mr. Wright, you should have put that at the beginning there. Real quick, the five most dangerous intersections in New York City, 170th Street and the Grand Concourse in the Bronx, West 40th Street and 8th Avenue, just south of the Port Authority there. In Manhattan, Utica Avenue and Eastern Parkway in Brooklyn. As I said before, 27th Street and Queens Plaza in Queens. And in Staten Island, Highland Boulevard and Jefferson Avenue. Now, in Manhattan, there's more than just one dangerous. The most dangerous Manhattan intersections are 125th Street at Atom Clayton Powell Boulevard, 2nd Avenue and East 14th Street, 40th Street and 8th Avenue, as I stated, and Bowery and Canal at the Manhattan Bridge Approach. Oh, yeah, that's a mess over there. I tried crossing the street there. It's crazy. There's like one car for every pedestrian, and everyone's going in different directions. Anyway, Senator Avella has been on our show before, and Senator Avella used to be City Councilman Avella, and he was the first city councilman that I know of to refuse what's known as a Lulu. What's a Lulu? A Lulu is a stipend, is money, it's cash that is given to you for being on a certain committee and or supporting certain people in the city council. And not only that, but he refused a 25% salary increase, a pay raise. He considered it unethical. More importantly, and what stands out, when the voters voted down twice to extend term limits, and Mayor Bloomberg bought the third term and took a lot of people along with him, Tony Avella refused to run for a third council term. That was in 2009. Seems like yesterday. So, he became a state senator, and that was in 2010. He's on a lot of committees and is still refusing any Lulus for his committee position. Okay, a man of integrity. I could speak about the senator for hours and have a show just on him. Senator Avella, thanks for coming back on the Taxi Dave Show.
It's always a pleasure.
Now, this week, you sent out a press release demanding an apology from Councilman member Mark Weprin for a comment he made on New York One's Inside City Hall. Can you tell our listeners what that's about?
Well, he was on the show, New York One Inside City Hall, to talk about his support for the latest version of congestion pricing. And I didn't mind the fact that he supports the proposal. I oppose it as I oppose the original congestion pricing plan. But he made a comment that absolutely, to me, was outrageous. He said on TV that only rich people use these bridges, meaning the free bridges into Manhattan. And I was just, to me, that was the most outrageous statement. And I demand an apology for all the people for Queens and Brooklyn, you know, and throughout the metropolitan area that use these bridges. It's just a disgrace that he said only rich people use it.
That rich people use the bridges?
Yeah.
You know, for those of you who don't know, Senator Velda has been against congestion pricing. I was with him at probably the coldest winter day a couple of years ago at the mouth of the 59th Street Bridge, where he had a press conference fighting, totally against congestion pricing. Let's face it, there are millions of middle class and lower middle class and, you know, New Yorkers who really live week to week. A lot of us live week to week, even, you know, middle class and upper middle class. You know, sometimes people tend to spend more than they can afford. But certainly, if you're paying a toll, let's say the Triborough Bridge, $7.50 each way, $15 a day, you know, that's $300 a month if you just use 4 weeks and travel weekdays. So if you can save $400 a month by using the 59th Street Bridge, you're going to do that. I mean, that could be your food for the month. That could pay your electric bills. You know, it can pay for your kids, part of your kids' tuition. I mean, it's a great thing that we have the Williamsburg Bridge, the Manhattan Bridge, the Brooklyn Bridge, and the 59th Street Bridge free. Now, we change gears, and this time around, Gridlock Sam Schwartz, has been working behind the scenes to line up support for this plan. And the way he's selling it, and correct me if I'm wrong, Senator, is he's calling for a reduction in certain tolls on bridges that people use now and pay tolls, and then a small toll on all of the other bridges I just mentioned. But that small toll is like $5.50 each way.
Correct. Yeah.
Now, go ahead.
The way he there, and first of all, I have the utmost respect for Sam Schwartz. I've known him for a long time. What they're calling this, and you know, because they love to get away from the old name congestion pricing. So they call it the fare plan, and it's based upon the fact that they'll lower the tolls on bridges that go other than into Manhattan, like in my district, the Throgs Neck and Whitestone Bridge. In turn, they'll put the tolls on the free bridges, the East River bridges. And they use the argument, well, this will be fairer to people who don't go into Manhattan, and we'll use all of that money, we'll put it into a lockbox, and we'll use it for mass transportation improvements, improved bus service, and infrastructure projects. Sounds very good in theory, but and I've told them directly, and I've met with people even since I've, you know, came out in opposition to this latest version, that it's a house of cards, because it's built on the foundation that you will always have this ratio of the other bridges being half of what the East River bridges are, and that the money will always go towards mass transit and infrastructure projects. There is absolutely no way to guarantee that. You cannot promise that the next day after this plan goes into effect that Albany, a mayor or a governor will say, well, I want to, you know what, all the tolls should be the same. And then the tolls on the bridges that have been lowered will go up. You cannot say that the next mayor, the next legislators, the next governor will say, well, you know what, we have a shortfall in the budget, so we're going to take some of this money that was supposed to go for mass transit, for infrastructure projects, and we're going to use it for something else. That goes on all the time. So this guarantee of this half ratio for the other bridges and that it's always going to be committed to mass transit, it just falls apart, and the whole plan is based upon that. So it's a house of cards. The foundation just isn't there.
If they reduce the 750 toll on the Whitestone Bridge, let's say, to $5, and it's $5.50 for the 59th Street Bridge, I just don't get it. But what I do get is the MTA could get a projected $1.5 billion in annual revenue. $1.5 billion, and with the $15 billion shortage on their capital plan, I could see a lot of people really trying to push this who are MTA friendly.
Well, there's no question that, you know, there's this $15 billion budget gap in the capital plan for the MTA. We need to address that. There's no question. This is not the way to do it. And just to say today that, well, you know what, we get this plan, we put the tolls on the East River bridges, you're going to have a lot more money for the MTA. And the term, again, is lockbox. In other words, this money will always be dedicated for mass transit. The problem is on two levels. One, you can't guarantee that lockbox will not be raided. Albany does that all the time. We do that in every budget. As much as people like myself may complain and say we shouldn't, it gets done. The second thing is, even if you put it in so-called lockbox and you didn't touch it, the same scenario that happened with the lottery can happen, where the money from the lottery is supposed to go to education. Well, it does, but the legislature or the city just puts less money into education from the general budget. So you could have the same situation. Okay, this money will go to the MTA. But then the legislature or the city council or the mayor or the governor will just say, well, we're going to put less money towards the MTA from the general budget, so you really don't gain anything. That's what this whole plan is based upon, this funding aspect of it, and it doesn't work. And at the end of the day, when it doesn't work, you still have a tax, a toll, that will never go away. Once the toll is in place on the East River bridges, it will never disappear.
So have you heard anything from the Mark Wepron camp as far as an apology?
No, actually, all I got back was a rehash of why he supports the plan. He's never addressed the fact that he used the term rich. And that's why I, you know, condemned him, basically. You can support the plan. We can disagree. But when you use the term only rich people use these bridges, I mean, that's absurd.
Well, his brother happens to be an assemblyman up in Albany, David Wepron. And David has the opposite idea about this congestion, cloaked congestion pricing. David actually said, and I quote, "Most people who drive into Manhattan from Queens don't do it because it's a fun experience. They drive in because they don't have transportation alternatives." So there you have two brothers, two stories, two weapons, and he certainly owes an apology to those who drive, okay, because they have no alternatives. And it's, yeah, you know, I mean, how many of those cars are old cars, you know, are small cars?
Well, anybody who stood at the 59th Street Bridge and saw it's average people that drive. I've always said nobody drives into Manhattan for the pleasure of it. They drive because they have to. And, you know, you have small businesses. You have, you know, people that just, whether they're going to their business, most likely they're going to a hospital. They're going to school. They're dropping off their kids. Whatever, or they're going to Manhattan to buy something, and what they're purchasing is too big to carry on the subway. It's just ludicrous. And, you know, philosophically, I've always felt you shouldn't charge people to go from one borough to the next. I personally think that's discrimination. We have free bridges. I think it's a great thing. Let's keep it that way. Let's work together to find ways to fund the MTA deficit. That has to be done. And you may remember, and I don't know how many of your listeners remember, but I've been supporting legalizing sports betting since I was in the city council. And when I was in the city council, we determined the city alone could generate $2 billion in revenue if we legalize sports betting. So there could be something that could go to the MTA deficit. New Jersey, Governor Christie realized it was a good idea, and he's done it.
The voice of reason, Senator Tony Avella, I want to thank you for coming on the Taxi Dave Show once again. And I'm sure we'll be hearing from you in the near future. Give me a call if Mark Wepperin apologizes to you, will you?
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. This is the Taxi Dave Show. When we come back, we'll take some of your calls, read some emails. We have a lot of news. Our phone number is 800-321-0710. Our email address is taxihale@aol.com. I am Taxi Dave. And you are Frank Venezia. Hey, how you doing, Frank?
I'm doing well.
We'll be right back.
Seriously, why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
Come on, baby, let's go downtown. Let's go, let's go, let's go downtown. Come on, baby, let's go downtown.
Taxi Insider and the Taxi Dave Show is back. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. You got to try the credit union difference. So much better than banks. They're not fee-oriented, folks. Tired of your banks feeing you to death? Join Melrose Credit Union. You won't be sorry. Fasten your seatbelt. Frank, you know who's with us.
Oh, I can't wait. Wait, let me strap myself down.
Okay. Hi, Clem, Dave. You're on the Taxi Dave Show.
Yes, this is Clem from Bay Ridge. It was like a breath of fresh air to hear Tony Avella with his common sense. Sports betting is the solution. It would have been a lot better years ago had they implemented that. Now, what I'd like to talk about, I actually read that the city of New York is planning to form a committee that would find out why most accidents in Manhattan happen at intersection while the driver is making a left turn.
About 99% of them.
It's not necessary to have a committee. I knew that answer many years ago, and I'll reveal it now. As you know, on the upper left side, over the dashboard, is the beginning of the bar that connects roof to the dashboard.
That's right.
If Detroit made these with hard glass, then people could see the pedestrian that now, without the hard glass, petitions from the roof to the dashboard, they can't see. So here, supposed to look left, right, left. So while the guy looks to the right, suddenly a J-runner starts to run out. He looks to his left. He can't see the guy coming because the guy pauses a little because he thinks the cab's going forward. And then what happens? He hits the guy.
Or the car, or the bus, or the truck.
But the way to circumvent that is simply go forward with your head. Bring your head so that you see beyond the obstruction from the roof to the dashboard. That's the easy solution. And every 3 years I go for a 10% insurance deduction at an auto driving school. And at the end of it, they ask for anyone want to say anything. And
they got the right one with you.
And I say, listen, a racehorse goes 40 miles an hour. He goes 5 lengths in 1 second of himself, or 1 length in a fifth of a second. Now, what happened to me was, I explained, more than once, but I saved a life on 69th Street between just off Central Park West. I was going west when suddenly a toddler broke away from his chaperone. Because I used the left foot for the brake, The left foot was, the heel was skimming the floor. The upper part of the foot was skimming the brake. It wasn't engaged. Only until I lifted up with the right foot off the accelerator and pressed down. That saved the kid's life because a lot of accidents happen in the transfer time.
Are you a two-footed driver, Clem?
Yes.
Are you saying that driving with 2 feet is safer than driving with just your right foot?
I will answer that, but I'll give you an answer. I swear to the Holy Spirit or Jesus Christ. At the end of that meeting at the auto school, the driving instructor came over to me and said, I use your method too. He says, but I'm supposed to teach the drivers the other way, where it's okay to keep the left foot by the door, which I see drill press operators use 2 hands and 2 feet. So that's how I got to thinking many years ago. So I used the right foot for the accelerator, keeping the left foot.
Hey, Clem. I totally get what you're saying, and I really appreciate it. Can I ask you a personal question?
Yes.
Do you happen to call city council people at 4 in the morning? I'm just curious.
No, why?
Okay, because somebody, a city council person was telling me that a gentleman calls 4 in the morning, leaves messages, and says that they listen to this show. I thought maybe it was you. But anyway, listen, thank you for those tips. Thank you for the insight. You're absolutely right about the left turns. And you know something? When I drove a cab, I found those days when I drove with 2 feet, when you're in stop-and-go traffic, it is a lot safer. So thanks for calling the Taxi Dave Show. I appreciate it. My gosh. What do you think of that, Frank?
Always valuable information coming from Clem. And
yeah,
his delivery is just better and better every time he's on.
Charles, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Yes. Hello?
You're on.
Yeah, okay. About this mayor thing, about if you're a pedestrian on, they could get arrested. The first traffic fatality with pedestrians, 1898 in New York City. He thinks, like all these politicians, suddenly make the law, everything will disappear. The bus that hit that girl over in Grand Street, the big mirror blocks the view. You can lose a person and even a car with that big mirror. You need a big mirror to look along with, and the driver can't see 360 degrees all around at the ground. I've had, right in front of my bus, NYPD brass drove inside of a turning bus. All the turn signals, angle of the bus, angle of the wheels, not a clue.
Well, I want to thank you for making it perfectly clear to our listeners. Thank you so much for calling into the Taxi Dave Show. What do you think about that one, Frank?
That was perfectly clear to me. I agree with him.
Okay. Mike, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
First of all, Dave, you got a great show there. And, I just want to say, let's start drawing a line in the sand and start getting guys like Tony Avello or Avila and all these people. There are some really great people in government who have got elected, who have common sense. And we have to start wondering why the wackos don't like us. And in the words of the great philosopher Allen Iverson, say, don't worry about the people who hate you. Worry about the people who love you. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because we have politicians who, we have people who have common sense, and we're always swamped down and bogged down trying to get people without common sense to see our point of view. And we do have about 60 or 70,000 drivers and their families running around in New York City, and it's about time we start flexing our muscles a little bit. I mean, we used to have a pretty good political action committee thing going in the industry, and for some reason we just gave it all away.
Interesting you say that. I think you're going to be hearing something about a political action committee in the near future. Hey, by the way, did you know that Uber drivers get to rate their customers? So when the drivers...
Yes,
go ahead.
Yeah, yes, I do. And it's, in fact, I know the customers, if they're drunk, they don't get in Uber cars because the Uber driver will rate them like with a 1-star or a 0-star. So we have these like drunk Uberians looking for cabs. That's the new thing.
Is that from the state of Uberia?
From planet Uberia, yes. And I had an Uber spy in the cab. He goes, what do you think about Uber? I say, well, I like Uber because the most annoying people, in my opinion, take Uber. So they get out of my cab and go into Uber. So it's like a filter.
Oh,
anyway, but great show. I'm looking forward to what you had to say about, like, political stuff. because everybody's politics, everybody's a big shot. But we got to start to realize that the cab drivers talk to 500,000 people a day, for God's sakes. Anyway, NYCTaxiNews.com. Can I say that?
Say what?
NYCTaxiNews.com.
I'll think about it.
All right. And even more important, JFK is stripped, and there's a zillion people there, and all the cabbies are happy. I'll see you later. Thanks,
Greg. Is it snowing? Is it snowing out there at JFK?
Actually, it was kind of like a drizzly, rainy kind of thing. But you know, I don't know what to do because De Blasio didn't have a press conference, so I'm lost.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Catch you later, guys.
Take care. You know, Political Action Committee. That's very interesting, Frank.
Has a nice ring to it.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm going to start a Political Action Committee. I think there are a lot of listeners out there who want to donate money and don't know who to give money to help the cause of the little guy, to help the yellow taxi industry, to help the drivers, okay, to help us survive. So you will be hearing more about a Political Action Committee in the near future. Any last words, Frank, before we get off the air? I'm being
motioned
here.
Stay warm and drive safely. Those are my words for the evening. Everybody,
yeah, watch out for the snow. The potholes are being filled. Okay, if you see a pothole, call 311, and the city will be there to fix it. We are brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Good luck driving in the ice and snow in the morning, folks. Slow is the word. Slow. I'm Taxi Dave. This is the Taxi Dave Show, and we will be back next Sunday night, too. I got to go now.
Hey, taxi!
This has been a podcast from WOR.